Do you guys remember back when you learned how to ride a bike? How old were you? Four? Three? I see these little ones out on those little balance bikes, and they just take off. That wasn't me. And my son Reed took after me, too. We didn't learn until a little bit later. But I rode a bike. I didn't learn how to ride a bike without training wheels till I was nine. Yeah, true story. We lived out in the country, and there was just a little patch of concrete that I would ride in a circle, but the rest was a gravel driveway and then 3 or 4 acres of grass, so, you know. But I was on those training wheels until we moved to the neighborhood in town, and there was concrete, and there was curbs, and there was a few sidewalks. And so I would use that curb, and I would bounce off to get my balance, and then I would take off. And that bike, man, that bike was everything to me. I thought that bike was a horse. One time I tied my bike to the bumper of my mom's car. She wasn't happy because she took off down that driveway, that gravel driveway. Yeah. But anyway, riding bikes is fun. My son is discovering this. He actually didn't learn fully how to ride a bike. I'm not trying to embarrass you, son. I'm giving until about a month before we moved here. Isn't that something? And I think Jesus, okay, look at Cadence, he's laughing. And I think Jesus was saying, hey, son, you're going to want to ride your bike around Wyoming, Illinois. So you got to learn how to do this. We didn't know we were coming here at that time or so. But anyway, he is riding a bike with his friend. They love it. It's great. I love that for him. But oftentimes when we learn how to ride a bike, someone is helping us, usually, sometimes. That was the case with my older son, Logan. He learned to ride his bike in second grade, so he was a little bit older as well. Now, the thing with him was at the end of that year, they were having a field trip to Bicycle Safety Town. So he had to know how to ride a bike if he wanted to go that field trip and keep up with the others. And so we would take him to this church parking lot. It wasn't the church we went to, but it was the nearest church to our neighborhood so that he could just go and go and go without, you know, on flat ground. And then across from there was a Harley-Davidson, and they had a big parking lot. And so I remember going, and my uncle and I spent hours pretty much holding onto the back of his bike, right, until he got the balance and the courage to go on and do it on his own. And boy, when he did, we cheered, right? That's an exciting thing when you learn how to ride a bike and you can take off, because the freedom you have, right, of riding a bike, being able to go places on your own, the wind, I don't know, it's a fun thing. So Reed, we did this with him, and he finally conquered his fear. I don't know if it was a falling over or hurting himself or what. We practiced for a month or so, and he conquered that, and we cheered too. But you see, all along the way, we had the same goal in mind, him and I, right? And that he was going to conquer this, he was going to learn to balance, and he was going to do this. I had hope in him that he would learn this, and so that he would eventually enjoy riding and have lots of fun for his childhood. So we were both determined to meet this goal, to be able to do this. Many failed attempts, right? Some frustration along the way, but the goal remained the same. Don't give up. And there it was, sweet success as he rode on. And we cheered and we applauded and we were both grinning ear to ear. And at that moment, he was the best bike rider on that street, right? So as a parent, I was super proud. And you know, that's how God delights in us. He delights in every detail of our lives. He's our biggest fan. And so no matter how many times we try, no matter how many times we fall or we fail or we're frustrated or we get worried, it doesn't stop our Father from taking delight in us. That's what Psalm 37 says. Verses 23 through 24 say that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. So we're going to fall at times, but it's God's joy to pick us up. His delight is constant. He delights in us because he's a good father, not because we're good children, not because we're perfect, But because he's a good father, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to get scared or worried. And that's why the Father's heart is written for us in Scripture. His word says, do not be afraid. I go before you. I love you. He says that over and over in the Bible. And as parents help a little child learn how to balance and ride a bike, not in frustration, but in hope that they'll succeed, right there alongside, cheering them on, that's exactly what God does for us. Each time we fall, each time we fail, each time we go through hard things, his goodness and mercy follow us. He is a good father, and he's also a good shepherd. And so today we're going to be looking at Psalm 23. It's a familiar passage for a lot of us. It focuses on God as a protective shepherd who provides for believers' physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, especially during difficult times. Key themes that we see in Psalm 23 are provision and guidance and protection and companionship, goodness and security. That's a lot of good stuff packed in there for us. So we see God's provision. God, as a shepherd, ensures that his flock lacks nothing, providing green pastures for nourishment and rest and still waters for peace. And then we see his guidance. God leads believers in the path of righteousness, and his presence restores us and renews our souls and helps us navigate through life's challenges as we sometimes wander. Psalm 23 also tells us about his protection, especially during hardship, even in the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd's presence is a source of comfort and protection for us. God's presence is felt even in the dark times. And his constant companionship, the words of this psalm assure believers that they're not alone. As God is always with them, the shepherd is personally present with his sheep, taking care of their every need and watching over them. And then his relentless pursuit of goodness, the idea of goodness and mercy shall follow me, is interpreted. It's not just a gentle reminding, but a relentless pursuit of the believer by God's love. We sing this song, how your goodness is running after. It's running after me. He doesn't want to let any of us out of his flock. And then his promise of eternal security. The psalm concludes with the promise of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, signifying eternal life for believers in an ultimate home with God. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Many people have this memorized. Even when they know little scripture, they recognize this one. Psalm 23 is often used to comfort people who are going through severe trials, suffering illness, or even through death. These words are sometimes the last that they have ever uttered or the last that they will ever hear. It starts out, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. There's a declaration of who the Lord is and an immediate result of that. This is who the Lord is, and because of that, I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd. You see, David thought about the God of Israel, and he thought about his relationship with God, and he made this analogy between of a shepherd and his sheep. God was like a shepherd to David, and David was like a sheep to God. This was not unusual. We see this familiar idea throughout the Bible, that the Lord is a shepherd to his people. It begins early in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, Jacob called the Lord the shepherd, the rock of Israel. In Psalm 28:9, David calls out the Lord, be their shepherd and carry them forever. Later on in Psalm 80, the Lord as the shepherd of Israel who would lead Joseph like a flock. Ecclesiastes 12 speaks of the words of the wise which are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Isaiah 40 tells us that the Lord will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. Micah 7 invites the Lord to shepherd your people with your staff as in the days of old. Zechariah 13 speaks of the Messiah as the shepherd who will be struck and the sheep scattered. This is also quoted in Matthew 26, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will scatter. You remember when Peter says, oh, no, Lord, not me. I won't fall away. John 10 clearly speaks, Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep and who can say, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Hebrews 13 speaks of Jesus as that great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter 2 calls Jesus the shepherd and overseer of your souls. 1 Peter 5 calls Jesus the chief shepherd. So this idea, Jesus as the good shepherd, was precious to the early Christians. There's that popular painting. We had a picture of it. A popular painting. You guys remember the painting of Jesus with the shepherd on his shoulders? Yeah. It's remarkable that the Lord would call himself our shepherd. You see, shepherd's work is kind of the lowest, right, of work. If a family needed a shepherd, sometimes it was the youngest boy of the family that would go out and do that unpleasant assignment. You remember David, the young shepherd boy that happens to be the author of this psalm. You remember the story where God sends Samuel to anoint a new king. And so he goes to Jesse in Bethlehem and says, line up all your sons. And he's looking at all of them, right? He has tall, handsome, strong sons. And he's like, that's not the one. Okay, it must be the next one. Nope, not the one. Going down the line. And he said, this can't be. Are these all your sons? And he goes, there's David. He's just a shepherd boy out in the field. Bring him also. And guess what? That is who God chose. Because God looks at the inside, at the heart, not at our physical outside. And so, yet, this is the title, this is the position that our God has chosen to be our shepherd. The great God of the universe, he stoops down to us so he can give us gentle care, just as a shepherd would with his sheep. So, David, as the author of this psalm, says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is deeply personal to David. It's a testament to his relationship to God. And it's written from an experience of him being a shepherd himself and then later being a king. David chooses his words. The Lord is my shepherd. He was a real, personal shepherd for David himself. The same thing when we read this psalm today. The Lord is my shepherd. That is how we should read it. Personal, intimate, a relationship between you and God. He is a shepherd to me. He cares for me. He watches over me, and he preserves me. And as a young boy, David was a shepherd. He understood the role of providing and protecting his sheep. He applies this understanding to God's relationship with humanity, to how God is with you and I. And then later, as a king and a faithful servant, David also applies this understanding of how God consistently guides and cares for his people. David is expressing his confidence and trust that God has and will take care of him. So we too can read these words with confidence. Believe that the Lord is our shepherd. He is your shepherd. He has and he will take care of you. This is a certainty that we belong to the Lord. It's not if nor but or I sure hope so, but the word is, the Lord is my shepherd. The idea behind God's role as shepherd is of loving care and concern. David found comfort and security when he thought about God and the way that he cared for him like a shepherd cares for his sheep. It's important to also note that David felt like he needed a shepherd. He's not claiming that he is self-sufficient here. He realizes that like sheep, he needs guidance and he needs care. So for us to say that, for us to truly say that the Lord is my shepherd, we must realize our human nature. We must realize we're foolish at times, our tendency to wander at times, our need for a shepherd to watch over us and take care of us. And then immediately after that statement, the Lord is my shepherd, it says, I lack nothing, or some versions say, I shall not want. And this means that all of my needs are supplied by the Lord who is my shepherd. You see, he supplies all of our needs and a lot of our wants. He woke you up this morning. He got you here one way or another. You're wearing clothes. Thank you. You might have had a bite to eat this morning, or maybe you will when you get back, right? You look pretty healthy, right? The Lord has already provided so many of your needs this morning alone. And the wants, let's talk about those wants, right? Christmas is coming up. We like to write lists, especially children, right, of what we want. We like to look nice. We like to maybe have a little jewelry on. Maybe we like a special hat or a nice bag to hold. I got my nails done recently. That's definitely in the want category, not the need category, right? So there are wants, and the Lord provides not just for our needs, but our wants too. And so what this is saying is maybe we should take some time to thank the Lord for his provision. I shall not want means that I decide to not desire more than what the Lord, my shepherd, gives me. So what are we desiring? What are we wanting? Just something to think about. But let's also take a look at what has he provided us. So he's my shepherd. He provides for me and he sustains me. We go on to see that he gives us rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He refreshes my soul. The Lord, our shepherd, knows that we need rest. We need rest to take care of ourselves, and we need rest to take care of others. We live such busy lives. What a gift that the Lord recognizes this and reminds us that we need rest and that he leads us to that rest if we are listening and paying attention to him. In the meadows, by quiet waters, to lie down in green pastures, the shepherd knew the good places for his sheep to rest, and he faithfully guides the sheep there. What a lovely image, right? Gentle, such peace, no anxiety, no fear, no worry there, just peaceful rest. You know, the rest comes because the shepherd, he has dealt with the fear and the friction and the flies and the famine. That's his job, right? That's how shepherds watch over their flock. While we rest, he takes care of the rest. Our good shepherd knows the comfort and care that we need, and he leads us there. He restores our soul and leads us on the right path for his name's sake. We were once lost, but now we are found. The shepherd has brought us back into his tender care. He leads us along the right path. We need this guide to bring us back into a relationship and righteousness with him. To be led to the way of holy obedience as we are strengthened to walk and to run in the paths of God's commandments. But it's all for his name's sake. All credit and all glory go to God. To display the glory of his grace, for all the goodness comes from his own nature. And then we see the gift of the shepherd's presence at all times, because it's going to happen. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? because the Lord is present. He is present there also. For he is with me, it says. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. We talked about the green pastures. We talked about those still waters of peace and the path of righteousness. And now we're in a valley of the shadow of death. This is to say that there will be hard times. We know this, right? But you also need to know that God is present there as well. David recognized that under the shepherd's leading, he may walk through the valley. And that isn't his destination. That is not his dwelling place. Neither is it for us. But the presence of the Lord helps make it bearable to get through those times. We are under the Lord's care. Even in a fearful place, we have no fear because the Lord is present. The presence of the shepherd banishes the fear of evil. So if you're walking with the Lord, he's by your side. You do not have to fear. He's our shepherd. He's taking care of that for us. You are with me, Lord. I will fear no evil. It says, your rod and your staff comfort me. The rod and the staff were instruments that shepherds used, right? One for protection to ward off attacks from predators, but the other for guidance and control, sort of a discipline, right? To direct the sheep where they need to go. So even in the valley of the shadow of death, we know that God guides us and he corrects us at times when we need it. And then we see the Lord as our host, providing blessing in the presence of danger. It says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. It says that you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. David envisioned the provision and goodness given by the Lord, inviting David to this rich table that the Lord has prepared for him, a bounty to feed me and power to protect me. And even though we may be surrounded by enemies, we can sit at the Lord's table with confidence and security. This gives us this beautiful picture of sitting down to dine at the table that the Lord has provided for us. It suggests this personal connection between us and our Lord. And the Lord's care and concern, it doesn't eliminate the presence of our enemies. There's still evil in the world, but it enables us to experience God's goodness and bounty even in their midst. We can have peace even when. So he pours out his abundant blessings upon us over and over again. So the enemy may be at the door, and yet God prepares this lovely table for us, and we can sit down and we can eat with him as if everything were at perfect peace, because he is our shepherd. And at the end of the psalm, it contains a blessing for our future. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Don't you love that? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because of the Lord's presence, goodness, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We can live with that faithful expectation that the Lord will continue to take care of us all the days of our life. Not just some days, not just on these days, not just when things are going well. I love that. All the days of our life. Mercy, his steadfast love, together with goodness, suggests that the steady kindness and support that we can count on from the Lord. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He with us, and us with him. Emmanuel. The psalm ends with this calmest assurance that we can enjoy the presence of the Lord forever, both now, our days here on earth, and beyond. And so the sweet words of this familiar psalm, it offers us comfort. It reminds us that we can embrace fellowship with God, whatever we find ourselves in, good times and bad, times of anger and times of joy, times of hope and times of despair, times of certainty and times of questioning. The words of Psalm 23 tell us this. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. We shall not be in want because the Lord is our shepherd. Shepherd is a caretaker, a guide, a defender, a keeper, a protector. A shepherd protects sheep from danger and keeps them from wandering off and takes care of the flock. That is who our Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. My Lord protects me. He keeps me close. He cares for me. Because my Lord is my shepherd, he gives me rest and provides for me. He restores my soul. He guides my path, even in those times of trouble and darkness. I don't have to fear. For the Lord is with me, and he comforts me, and he helps me in the presence of my enemies. And goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life, there's good days, and there's bad days, but the Lord remains forever. The Lord remains steady. The Lord is my shepherd all the days, because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This passage reminds us of the Lord's presence in our life. David's words remind us that the Lord is present and we shall not want because he supplies for us. And we shall have rest because he makes us lie down in green pastures. And he refreshes us because he leads us beside those quiet waters. And he heals us and he restores us, our soul. And he guides us because he leads us on the path of righteousness. And it reminds us of our purpose for his name's sake. He guides me on a path of righteousness for him who we give all glory to. It's our purpose of why we walk this earth. And it challenges us in those times when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But we don't fear. We have assurance because the Lord is with us. You see, he is present. That shadow, it's proof that there is light. That's the Lord's presence. He is faithful. He comforts us with his rod and staff. He gives us abundant life and prepares a table for us, anoints us with oil overflowing, our cups just overflowing, that we can live in his blessing. Surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life. We are secure when we dwell in the house of the Lord. Friends, these are the words that David has wrote about his relationship with God. These are words for you about your relationship with God, who he is. One of the very names we call him is our good shepherd. He will be present. He will watch over you. He will take care of you. He will help you through the hard times. He will correct you when needed. But he is there. So take these words and receive them today. May you be blessed and take refuge in his care. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these words. So much goodness packed in one passage, Lord, that we can take this passage and we can memorize it, Lord, and we can use it times that we need it. Lord, we can wake up with these words on our lips, Lord, that you being our shepherd, thank you, Jesus, we don't have to want for anything. That you being our shepherd, you are present with us, Lord, at all times, good and bad, that we do not have to fear. Thank you, Lord, for being our shepherd, that you tell us, remind us, and lead us to the rest that we need. Thank you for providing that, Lord, for us. Thank you, Lord, that you prepare us a table, Lord, that you provide and give us a bounty, a feast, Lord, and that we can take those times and just be present with you, Lord, just enter into your company and your presence and not have to worry about what all's going around us, Lord, but that you just surround us with your protection, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your goodness and your mercy follows us, not just some days, but all the days of our life and into eternity. Lord, I thank you for these words that my friends can take home with them today, Lord, and apply them to their life and memorize them and have them in their brain, Lord, for when they go here and there, that they remember who you are to them and that sweet, sweet relationship that you want with them. So Lord, thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for loving us so much that you will never leave us. And thank you for preparing a place for us in your home, heaven. Lord, we love you and we are so thankful. I pray this over everyone here and those that are not here, Lord. And we pray this in your name only, Lord. Amen. Be blessed.